First off, let me tell you, I love my father. He is the king of my heart. My mother was the queen of my heart. Like, my parents were together for 52 years. And then mom passed November of 2019. And I remember after we buried my mom, we were all at the house the next day. And my dad says to me, "Well, I guess I'm not going to see you so much anymore." And let me tell you, when my mom got diagnosed, I made a conscious decision to go see my mom every week. And that's what I did. I went and I had lunch with my mom and my dad. I would, on my lunch hour from work, I would go see my mom and my dad. And I did that for 3 years, 3.5 years, until she passed. And again, my dad says, "I guess I'm not going to see so much of you anymore." And I was like, "What are you talking about, Dad?" I said, "I'm still going to come here once a week." And it's just weighed on me that he said that he thought I was only coming for my mother. And it was like, "Dad, you're here too," you know? So, my dad is in poor health. And today I told him, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to be over around 10-ish. You know, I'll see you then." And this was last night. And he was like, "Okay, we'll have some barbacoa. And I have fresh tortillas. And I have, you know, green chili, and, you know, and some chicharrones, some really good chicharrones. Damn good." I was like, "All right." So I get there, and I open the door, and there's just silence. And I'm like, my dad usually has the TV on. And this has happened a couple of times in the last 6 months where it scares the living shit out of me because he's not answering me and the bedroom door is open and the dog's running around and I have to brace myself. And it takes me back to my mom dying and seeing her lifeless body. And I brace myself and I'm like, "Whatever happens, happens. And it's going to be okay." And so I brace myself because am I going to find my father dead? You know, died in his sleep. Like, who wouldn't want their parent to die peacefully, right? But I'm at that point in my life of where people were, when I was in my 20s and 30s, and 40, 50, 60-year-old people that I worked with would talk about being a caregiver and checking in on their parents and, you know, late-night phone calls because somebody went to the hospital. Like, I'm there. I'm there. I get it. I get it. It is so easy to criticize other people. You know, because they'd come in, "Oh, I'm so tired. You know, I was up half the night with my mom," or, you know, whatever it was. Things I had not experienced before. But because I haven't experienced them, I don't get to tell people it's not that bad. At least your parents are still here. Like, the things people say to other human beings, I'm way more conscious of. So there I am standing, you know, outside the door going, am I going to find my dad stiff and dead? Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But I start to feel, you know, an overwhelmingness of, is this it? Is today the day I have to make the phone calls that dad isn't with us anymore? I see my dad and I know what dead looks like. And I'm like, okay, dad's just sleeping. And he wakes up and he's like, oh, you're here. And I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm here. I don't think he has any idea what goes through my head when he doesn't answer me and I walk through the door. You know, and I walk through the door and I'm like, dad, daddy, I'm here. You know, or hi, mom. And he has a big picture of my mom when you walk in, and I always say, hi, mom. Again, I make these things, I make a podcast because I know I'm not alone. He's very capable. My brother does live with him, so we have, you know, one sibling who lives with dad, you know, to make sure he's okay. Now sometimes he has to go away for a couple of days for work. But for the most part, I'm like, okay, dad's okay. But you know, he can't hear anything. You have to say everything three times. He just looks at you and, you know, crinkles his face up like, what? You know what I'm talking about? What? That face? What? Like their eyes get real small because their cheeks are all pushed up into their eyes. What? You know, and so I don't try to speak louder. I try to speak clearer because sometimes I can be a very fast talker. And sometimes he says things that I'm like, what are you talking about, Dad? Like things that I'm just like are way out there. Oh, my daddy. How I love my daddy. And I'm selfish. I want my dad here forever. And I'll say it because my brothers and my sister will tell you I'm daddy's girl. I'm daddy's girl. And I'll say it loud and proud and out loud. But it's coming. It's coming. And I remember when people would talk about losing a parent, and I couldn't understand because it hadn't happened to me yet. And I notice how much I overeat when I go see my dad. And how much I overeat when I get home. Like, it's such a coping mechanism because when I'm there with him, we've watched Lonesome Dove, we've watched the Streets of Laredo, we've watched something Moon, the Cheyenne Moon. It was a TV series. And then we watched all of Downton Abbey. Plus the movie. And we've seen a few other movies here and then, but right now we're watching Medium. And we watch an episode or two. We always eat and then we watch an episode or two. And like I said, he says things that I'm just like, Dad, I don't think that's true. You know, and you know what? I'm not gonna argue with my dad. I'm just not gonna do it. I don't want to be right. My time with my father is precious. And he's a cantankerous old man, I'm telling you. My dad's an old Navy dog, right? And he provided, and he was there, and he made sure we never went hungry or without shoes. You know, we grew up pretty poor. And you don't know you're poor until you go off to see other things and other people and other cultures and other ways people live. But the one thing that my parents were very strict on was family. And our family's actually broken up. We don't have the tight family that we used to. There has to be a line drawn in the sand for trust. Trust is important. And if you can't trust a family member, you know, it's not that it's okay, but it's okay to distance yourself. And it's okay. It's all right, you know, it's not fair and it sucks and you wish it could be different, but you know, there's just some things you can't agree to disagree and be okay. There are some things that are just, you know, name calling, undercutting, testifying against, you know, choosing ex family members, you know, not okay. Not okay. So that's where we're at right now, and that's where I am in my life, and my father, watching my father slip away, just like my mother. My mother slipped away day by day after she got the diagnosis of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. She slipped away. And I'm watching my dad slip away every time I see him. He gets a little slower. He eats a little less. His attention span is not very good. I just think he's ready. He's ready to join mom. Because there's nothing I can do and nothing I can say to will him to live. Understanding that you have to have a passion to live, have some hobbies, have friends and more family, and all the things that I thought were really weird growing up, or that people would, you know, people would say these things, and I'm like, have a hobby. What? Have something that you're passionate about, that you care about, that you can do together, that brings your family to closer, you know, make your house more inviting, that people would want to come over and visit you more. Like all these things that made zero sense to me because that's not the way I grew up. I'm seeing that there was a lot of value in those words. No, you're not supposed to be cranky when you get older. No, you're not supposed to be sick all the time. No, you're not just supposed to let yourself go. No, you're not just supposed to sit in a chair and wait to die. No. No, it's not okay. That's not normal. I thought it was normal that was a part of life, but that's not a part of everybody's life. I see people who are enjoying their lives in their 60s and 70s and even their 80s. They're out there. They're making connections. They're talking to people. They read. They volunteer. They do things to be a part of the community, a part of their family, a part of things that make them feel valued and important and not so lonely and afraid and alone. Who wants that? I don't understand why anybody would want that and say that's just part of life, being alone and afraid and not participating in anything. I don't understand it. And here I am watching my father, my daddy, not want to participate anymore. And believe me, I have brought that man tons of information of how to take care of yourself. And he doesn't want to do it. And there's, again, nothing I can do or say to make him change his mind. He's ready to go. I'm not ready to let him go. And if that makes me selfish, so be it. I'm selfish. I don't know what it's like to have both parents gone. I talk on here of how when things are happening, I miss talking to my mom about it because she always made me feel better. And I'm not saying my dad doesn't make me feel better. I'm just saying my dad never had the softness or the emotional intelligence that my mother had. You know, he's dad. He's strong. He's, you know, stubborn. He's the provider. He's I was telling my husband, my daddy was my world. This strong man with conviction and strength and love for his family and a provider and protected us and taught us how to play softball and, you know, mow the yard and use tools. And I mean, he did the best he could. And now when I see him, he's a frail little old grumpy man. And I think that hurts me the most. He's still my daddy. He's still my daddy. And I love that man. I love him more than he'll ever know. And when he does go, that's a part of my world I'll never get back. I don't have my mom. I'm eventually going to lose my dad. And I have to keep going for my family. And take the strengths and the lessons and the love that he gave me and give it to the people that I love. And that's how I will honor his memory. You know he's not gone yet. I know. That's why I go once a week, is to enjoy my time with my daddy. The time we have left. And I want to be the good, dutiful daughter. And, you know, he's bestowed his wishes upon me and what he wants done. And, you know, he's given me all the plans. I know what I'm supposed to do. He trusts me to carry them out, which I will, because those are his wishes. And then, like I said, I'm a dutiful daughter. I'm dutiful. What daddy tells me, I do it. Because I love him, I trust him, I respect him. But it was nice. It's always nice to sit with him. And even though he's falling asleep in his recliner every time, because his sleep schedule is so bad. So bad. And I watch him sleep. I watch him sleep in that recliner. And I'm like, he's alive right now. He's alive right now. Enjoy this. Enjoy seeing your father. Take it all in. Take it all in. Because someday it's all just going to be a memory. And I know how lucky I am to have the parents that I had. They were not perfect. Believe me, my sister makes sure that we all know. Daddy wasn't perfect. Daddy was mean. Daddy screwed up my life. You know, we all have our opinions about our parents. Yeah, we were all raised in the same household, but we all have a different version of dad. And that's my daddy. And I will respect him till the day he dies. And I will give that to him, my utmost respect, and be there till he dies. And nobody's going to change my mind about that or tell me any differently of how he was and how he is. And no, He gave me the best life he could give me. And in turn, I'm going to make sure that when I'm there, we laugh and we eat and we sit and talk about the shows that we watch and just life. Just talk about life. I'm going to continue to do it.